This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
When we begin, we're all looking for the promised land. And in the end, we just need someone to hold our hands. Everybody needs some kind of refuge, something to run to, someone who loves you. I'll be the light guiding you through the night when the stars just refuse to shine.
Tells me.
I know, right? Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Everybody is Addicted. Today, I have Jocelyn here, who is graciously going to share her story with us of dealing with family addiction. She herself has worked hard to not become an addict, which she's going to tell us. And I'll let her take it away, so don't steal her story. Go ahead, Jocelyn.
So my mom was an addict way before I came along. It started when she was a very young teenager. She had my brother at 15, and she tried to sober up and clean up her act for him. And she did do good. She met my dad when my brother was 2, and he helped a lot. 8 years down the road, they had a magical me, and my dad tried really hard to keep my mom on the cleaner side of things.
I think it's hard, too, when you have children young, and you don't get to experience that early 20s fun stuff, that it makes it even harder to stay away from, you know?
Yeah, and she grew up in a house where my papa was an alcoholic, and she grew up around a lot of alcohol and anger and stuff. Like, there was a lot more to it, but that's not really my story. So we'll just touch on that. But she had a rough life, or early life.
Mm-hmm. My mom did too, and I think that's what a lot of the addiction's from.
Well, like I say to her, she's an adult, but mentally she's still a teenager because she never got to live her teenage years. She acts, she talks, she dresses sometimes like a teenager. And that's not her fault. It's the disease that she has and the way she was brought up and everything that did happen to her.
It took a long time to realize that, too.
Yeah. And, like, me and her, we have a love-hate relationship. She lives with me. I love her with all my heart. I would do anything for her. But at the same time, I'm more of a mom to her than she is to me. So it's hard that way. But I think I was about
5, and my dad and my mom split. My dad had enough. And that's when my mom met her now ex. And he got her really heavily into her addictions. He fed it. And it, she moved me and my brother into his place. And my brother moved out very quickly. He couldn't handle it. He couldn't see it. I was young. I didn't know that I had a
Why?
choice.
Yeah.
And my dad was still around. He's an amazing dad. He did what he could. And him and my mom are best friends. My dad also lives with us now, and they have
Well,
separate rooms.
that's an interesting dynamic. Wow.
It
Because when my parents would, my mom would like hide from my
Oh,
dad.
they are best friends. They still celebrate their anniversary, even though they've been separated for 22 years, 23 years.
Well, at least that's some form of like peacefulness, I suppose, because my family would be like that. If my dad was still alive, my parents lived together, holy crap.
Friends, and it is the weirdest dynamic. Anybody that knows them doesn't understand, like, they understand it, but anybody else is like, what is going on? Are they together? Are they separated? They are true, fully separated. They live on different floors, but
I
they're
think you, but you have kids with somebody, you know somebody that well, it is hard to not be their friend unless they're doing something to hurt you. Do you know what I mean? If it's not hurting you, like personally or like mentally, like why
He,
not? You know each other, right?
my dad came to our rescue so many times when she was with her ex. He was an addict, but he was also abusive, and that fed into her addictions even
Was
more.
he abusive to you guys as well? Like you and your brother? Oh.
Yeah. My brother moved out. He didn't want to be around it. He moved in with some other family. And he just distanced himself. He needed to protect himself, which is
Yeah.
understandable. Knowing how things were now, I probably would have done the same if I had that choice. But at the same time, I didn't. And I learned by the time I was 7, I knew how to use
Oh
Narcan
my God.
and spoons. I was cooking, I was cleaning, I was the mom of the house.
I was so sheltered. Like I said, my mom hit it, right? So I was so sheltered that like I just thought she wouldn't let me drink out of her water bottle, right? Like she was always an alcoholic. So I wasn't really introduced to like that kind of stuff till high school. So holy cow, like geez, that's very young.
I'm thankful that she was open with me, because
And she could have saved your
everything
life.
she was open with, she was an open book, and she would tell me, because I'd ask her, Mom, what's that smell? What is that stuff? What are you doing?
Fires.
And it didn't register until I was a teenager that I shouldn't have known that stuff. But at the same time, like, it was helpful because I knew what to stay away from and the type of people that I didn't want to be around.
Because that's my daughter's father. Sorry to cut you off to a T. He's homeless. He's an intravenous, what should I call it, fentanyl user. And when it's her birthday, he sleeps in. He doesn't show up. It shows her that drug. And I don't shield her, so I tell her that he has a problem with drugs. So it's the exact same thing. Like she's showing her what to not do, right?
Well,
Exactly like you, sort of, because I show her the things she shouldn't see, I guess.
yeah. Well, and my mom did that for me, and she showed me, like, you don't want, oh, sorry, just coffee delivery. Thank you. My brother, we're getting my mother's laundry done today, so we're at the laundromat for her. He's
There you
delivering me
go. Funny because now I know you're Canadian too.
But she, and it wasn't all bad. Like,
Yeah.
it wasn't always bad, and I can't say that. They tried, and they did. When they tried to clean up a few times, and when they were clean or trying to get clean, they worked hard. We went on trips. They celebrated the birthdays that they had missed or anything. Like, and we didn't have a lot of money because it was going other places. But they did try, and my mom always had my dad's help as well.
Yeah, that was like my mom. I'm the only child, so I had like my parents tried their best to give me everything, even though my mom drank. My dad was the same. He always took care of us, so we never felt that financial pressure that would be negative because he'd always step in before things got bad.
Yeah, and my mom did work on and off a lot, so we could have groceries and stuff. And she's not a bad mom. She's just got a
Right.
disease, and she tried. And I see that now. I had a lot of anger built up for a long time. By the time I was in grade 7, we were halfway through the year, and we had run away from her ex in the middle of the night, packed up, disappeared, moved to a new city by my aunt's house. And I started at school because she wanted a better life for me. And she tried hard, but addiction is addiction. And she fell back into that same habit. She found people in the new city, and things were better, but she went back into old habits. And she, once she was in her old habits, it was hard to break. And then it was packing us up in the middle of the night and moving back in with her ex because he found us and she missed him.
Intense.
And he could fund the addiction. So,
Because I
and
know that all too well. Somebody who has who can help pay for it is better than not somebody that can help pay for it, right?
exactly. And that also comes with the abusive circle.
The
Like,
cycle, yep.
yeah, it's love bombing and then the abuse again. And oh, it wasn't always bad, but it wasn't always good. I've seen things as a kid that I should never have seen. I've seen people die. I've seen my animals get hurt because he was too out of it and she was too out of it to help.
And
I've
see, like,
seen.
I didn't experience that. And that's just listening to you. I'm like, oh my gosh, you poor girl. Like, oh my gosh, how are you okay?
A lot of therapy and a lot of working towards where I need to be and where I want to be.
That's a lot for such a young child. Like, oh my God.
Lot happened, and my mom is one of the strongest people I know because today, yes, she still battles her active addiction on and off and her alcohol issues, but she still tries. She's working. She's breathing. She's taking care of her health now. And I found out that I was an enabler. I let her do those things. I helped her. I allowed her to do it because I took care of her and I fed her and I made sure that she didn't do too many drugs and drink too much so that she would wake up in the morning.
Well,
And
even though, like, my mother decided to tell my children that alcohol is called medicine, my husband still went and got her box of wine. So I can't say I'm not an enabler either, especially when she's calling alcohol medicine. So it
well, and that's
feels
just
bad.
like I have 3 kids, and me and their dad discussed before my son was born, my oldest, that my kids don't need to know any of that. They don't need to know that life. They don't need to be open to that stuff. And we had planned to get to separate our lives a little bit. They'd still know grandma and love grandma, and she'd be active, but we would keep them more sheltered than what I was.
Yeah.
And that didn't end up happening. She fell back into active addiction. And I took on the mom role again because I can't leave my mom. I can't.
I'm the same. I'm like addicted to her as well, right? I don't know why.
I have the parent mentality when it comes to her. I need to take
Right.
care of her, I need to protect her.
Well,
She's my responsibility. Even though she's not, she's
I'm the
my.
exact same way as an only child with my dad gone, and my dad before he died told me to take care of her, and my whole life I was always the mom to her, even because she just has that you never my dad would even say she never got past 15. It's just where her mind's at, right? So I was
Exactly.
always taking care of her, I was always dealing with her mental issues and all that kind of stuff. So I get Exactly what you're saying. And
this podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Think you're trying, you can't shield your children from it. You just can't, even though you want to.
And like,
they love them, they want to see them. I can't say you're never going to see Oma again. Like, I can't do that.
Exactly. And it's not fair to the kids because they do deserve to know her and love her. And so that's what we work towards. And she tries hard. I see it every day that she is trying.
Having you living with her probably helps so much too, because of the motivation of knowing that it might let you down or that the kids might get let down, you know?
She did get clean there for a few years. I spent my grade 8 through grade 12 year living with my aunt. She dropped me off one day in the middle of winter and was like, I can't, I need to work on myself and get better for you. And I held a lot of resentment towards her for that, because that's my job. I got to take care of you. That's all I've known, is how to take care of you. And her and my aunt agreed I needed to learn how to be a kid, which backfired on everyone because I was never a kid. I didn't know that.
Now you still both your parents. Yeah. Backfired.
But I didn't know how to be a kid, and I still wanted to take care of everything and everyone. And at that point, they realized that I didn't know how to read. I had missed so much school. I'm in grade 8 and I can't graduate because I don't know how to read.
Oh my gosh. See, and after going, well, you know, after experiencing all that trauma and then still trying to take care of everybody and keep everything together, where do you have the time to try to put that effort in school, you know?
And she tried hard to make sure I went to school and I got a good education. I did go to a lot of schools.
That's the reason probably why.
Nobody ever caught on that I couldn't read. And so the beginning of grade 8, I'm living with my aunt and my three cousins and my uncle, and they're sitting down every day and they're trying to teach me how to read. And I had an amazing teacher that was the one that found, like, realized, hey, she doesn't know how to read, which is one of my favorite things to do. But they figured it out and they helped me. And then I became a straight A student because I put all of my energy into that. And
that's amazing, though. Like, that, like, it shows the strength that you have, because most people would be like, I can't read, and not even try to put effort into it. They would probably fall into a bad crowd because they don't like know how to do that. I know people who have gone that way because they weren't educated, and
had that opportunity to go that way. But I didn't. I love my mom, but I don't want to be like my mom.
That's how I feel. And that's why when I was in addiction, that's a lot of what got me sober was after I had kids, I got sober right before, because I didn't want to be the mom my mom is because of everything that went on, right?
Yeah. And I learned how to read and I went through school and I worked my butt off and I started rebuilding a relationship with a clean mom, a clean working mom who had her, she I think it was in grade 10, she had finally gotten her own place and she had a job and she had gotten our dogs back, because for a while there, my dogs were floating around from place to place, and my brother moved in with her to help, and she was living a clean life. She had a couple blips, but she was trying. And I hit grade 12. I made it through my first semester and I was like, I did so good. And then I hurt my leg playing rugby.
Oh, so they gave you opiates and she took
Yeah.
them.
And I took them and I liked how I felt. And I decided to completely turn my life upside down, got into fights with my aunt, who was my mom. And I packed up one day and I moved. I moved in with my boyfriend and then I broke up with him and moved in with my mom because what better place to be than with my mom? Which, I
Especially if
mean,
you're feeling lonely after breaking up with somebody, right? Like you want your mom, you know?
and I knew that she wouldn't judge me for what I
On.
started doing. And I wasn't doing, I stopped taking pills and I smoked weed and I drank, but I wasn't doing anything else, but I enjoyed doing that too much.
Because
And
it's this escape from the trauma that we've all been through. That's why I say everybody's addicted, because we all have trauma no matter who you are, and all that kind of stuff is an escape from thinking about it, right? So that's why we do it.
And I moved back in with my mom, and I met the wrong crowd of people, and I destroyed my life. I lost my scholarship. I wasn't going to university anymore. I failed grade 12, and it was just a short few months. And
Always is.
by the time summer hit, I was having seizures because I was using, and I didn't want to tell anybody because I didn't want them to look at me like I was my mom.
Or
And
like that, you're that person either, right? Like you don't be labeled, right?
so I went to the neurologist who thought I had a seizure disorder, and I was like, no, I need to be upfront with you. This is what happened. And they were like, okay. Well, now we can get your life moving. He goes, are you clean? Yeah, I have not drank or smoked anything in 3 months. I have not done a single thing because I had a seizure and I was like, no, I can't do this. I'm going to ruin my life completely. And I smartened up. And it was that.
It takes a lot of strength to smarten up on your own without somebody else telling you that you have to, that you had the knowledge within you to do it yourself. Like that takes a lot of strength. It really does. I commend you on that one.
And I confided in my aunt, and I was like, "That I did this. I was going down the same path my mom did, and it scared me, and I did not want to do that." And me and her talked about it because that's all I knew growing up. That's what I knew to do. I self-medicated my traumas. I never went to therapy. I never seen anybody to help with what I was going through. And she helped me seek help and get my life back on track for the most part, because I want to say 4 months, 5 months after I confided in her and told her what really happened, she found out I was pregnant with my son. And
Was like,
my spouse, no, like he never seen me using or anything or drinking. He only knows the clean, nitpicky pain in the ass that I can be to him. And that's all he knows, which is good. He knows my past, but he never saw that little hole that I was digging myself or anything,
My
because
husband had I relapsed at one point, and my husband seen the ugly come out, and I never wanted him to see that side of me, but he did, and he forgives me for it, but I still really think about it every day, and it really like hurts me to know that I, because I get ugly if I drink, right? Like mean. So I say the meanest things possible to people, and like I still feel bad for like things I've said just because I had that relapse, and that's like kept me from having any sort of like want of any form because it was so bad, right?
Of
And like,
course.
you're lucky he had, like, you're so, like, I wish I he'd never seen that. Like,
Yeah.
yeah, that's all I'll say. Yeah, you're lucky.
I have tried to shelter my kids from everything and myself and him. I don't want that to be a part of our lives. I know what it can do to people. And I looked at it as, well, that's what my mom did, so why don't I try it? That wasn't something that a normal person would do. And I say normal because they're not an addict, they don't have a disease. And
They're not, oh, they don't have that even in their house or have
exactly.
that, like, what is that word? Like that influence, you know what I mean? Where, like, as a kid, when you see your parent drinking at 9 in the morning, you're like, oh, that's okay. And then when your friends see you do it, they're like, what the heck are you doing?
Going on? Why are you doing that?
Yeah. Well,
Like,
my mom does it. I didn't know.
yeah. And like, I struggled with that because I didn't have friends until I moved in with my aunt. Because I
I
was
did. I was bullied severely. I didn't really have friends until I fell into the bad crowd.
yeah. I didn't go to school enough to have friends. I had my mom's friends' kids as friends, and they knew everything that I knew growing up.
Yeah.
We came from the same circle. But outside of that, we didn't know what a normal family or life looked like. We knew the addiction side of things. And
It's different than other kids, and it's hard to relate to them too, right?
then when I did move in with my aunt, and they were like, make friends, become a kid, you need to learn to live. It was hard. And I did not make friendships
I mean,
quickly.
no.
I
You're
still don't
sober.
have a lot of friends. I have maybe two because I.
And they're sober friends too. They're not friends that party at all because I don't
But
want that in my life, right?
exactly. And I don't talk to them very frequently. Like, we talk here and there, but that's about it. I focus on my kids and my family, and that is my only priority because my kids need to have the best life that they can have.
That's
I
how
want
I feel
to
too.
hear everything and the good side of everything. And I am o more open than most people would be with their kids, but it's more so like, yes, grandma does this stuff, and grandma had a bad few weeks there, but she did that because she has a disease.
That's what we had to do with my first child's father. He has a disease. We've ex kind of explained that the drugs are bad for him, and that's why he looks the way he does and makes him unhealthy, and that's why he acts the way he does. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't care about you. It's that he has a disease. Because when he doesn't have the disease as badly, or he gets out of prison and he's sober, he's a totally different person. It's once he hangs out with those people again and starts using, like you said. When there's the clean period, it's different than when there's the not clean period. So it's, I have to say, explain the same thing and
And
shelter as much as I can.
you shelter them, but at the same time, they know more than other kids do. And that's just because of how their family is. And my son is special needs, my oldest.
You
And
got a lot on your plate, eh? Holy. Oh,
he is very close with my mom, like extremely close. It was her first grandchild, but I struggled. I was 19 when I had him, and my spouse had moved in with us and got a job and started, and we raised him together, all three of us. And we did plan on getting our own place, but that wasn't affordable for two teenagers, young adults,
yeah, it's
with a
still
brand new.
hard to rent now as somebody who's my age. It's like
Oh my gosh,
ridiculous.
it's hard.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Find a place. We've been looking for years trying to find a place that we both like.
Which, and that fits everybody and that has storage and space and a parking spot and all that stuff. Like,
exactly.
It's like, so expensive.
We have three kids and we live in this. It's a big house, but it doesn't feel big with everybody that's in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it there's so much stuff. I never knew kids could have so much stuff. I didn't have stuff growing up.
I keep saying this for the last probably since Christmas. I want to get a bin in the spring, and I just want to fill it up and like restart with the house paint. Just start from the bottom back up because I can't take it anymore. I'm stupid, and I bought a house that has no storage because I didn't have kids yet.
I don't have any closets in my house. We don't have closets.
I have a closet in my room and a closet in my daughter's room, but they're not very big. And my son's room has no closet. And we don't have like a hallway closet to put coats or anything. And like, oh yeah, there's no like places like, you know, like storage cupboards or anything like that. There's minimal cupboard space. I didn't think about it, but now I realize I need space.
Yeah.
I have so much stuff.
Yeah. We need space. Yeah, so my kids do know some. They don't know all. They know that she has a disease. And that sometimes she has oopsies, is what I tend to call it. My son calls alcohol booze, because that's what my mom taught him.
My mom says it's medicine, so at least he knows it's booze.
I'd rather it be called medicine for some reason. I don't like my son saying that.
A little boy saying booze would make me kind of go, yeah.
It's just, it doesn't sit right with me, but it is what it is. And he understands, but he doesn't understand. My daughter doesn't know as much as my son does. My middle.
Yeah.
And because I don't think she really cares to know.
Probably not. As long as she's happy and it's not hurting her, why would she care to know almost, right?
She just does her own thing and ignores everybody else.
That's my son. He just does his thing and doesn't notice anything about what my mom is like. My daughter picks up on it because her father has issues, but my son, no idea.
Well, like, my son can pick up when I'm upset with my mom. Like, he'll be like, I know you're upset with her. I don't know why, but you don't need to be that mad.
My son will just come hold me and hug me and tell me he loves me and that I'm pretty because he knows I'm sad because of my mom.
Well, like, me and her will get into an argument, and I will say, it's normal for me to say, it is your life, it is your health, it is your choice. I am not your mom. I may feel like I need to take care of you, but I do not have to take care of you. And she's very sensitive to those things, and I think that comes with her addiction and her traumas and stuff. You say anything and it's a explosion, broke her heart. Mm-hmm. And it
addicts are all the same, eh?
They are. And so I say those things and she takes it so seriously and gets very, very upset. And sometimes it's the drop of a pin and she is having a meltdown and I don't deal with it anymore. I've gone to therapy. I'm still in therapy. I'm taking care of myself and the care of my kids. And I do sometimes misstep and step in and take care of her and help her. And I spend, when she tells me to jump, I jump. And if I don't, I get severe anxiety to where
and I'm on medication for it because of it.
Yeah. And
otherwise I can't, like, I freak out. Like, I can't even sit still. It gets to me like so badly that I can't function at all.
Yeah. Well, like this, neither of us meant for it to happen, but a few weeks ago, even she had messaged me, and my phone, I had lost it somewhere in the house. My 2-year-old was running around with it. It
died. Yeah.
And she had messaged me. I didn't see her message, but I could hear her above us stomping around. And I just hearing her walk the way she was walking gave me a pit in my stomach. And my spouse doesn't understand it. He doesn't come from any of this. He doesn't know this side.
My spouse's mom is an alcoholic too, so and she's crazy, so he gets it. So I'm lucky.
I don't get why you're getting upset. He goes, you can't sit still. Like, you keep looking at the door waiting for her to come down. Like, just watch your movie, read your book, do what you're doing.
Anybody with parent trauma like us, they don't understand, because my husband gets the anxiety too, and he literally goes and stands on the porch. Just waiting just to see, like, and I pace around the house, he paces around the house, both of us looking out the window, chewing our nails, like, freaking out, like, they can't talk to us. I know that feeling so well.
She didn't end up coming downstairs. She didn't end up talking to me. And then she went to work, and I got a message from my father, because he came and picked her up, I guess, asking why I didn't drive her to work. Well, I didn't see his message either, because my phone was dead and MIA somewhere. And a few hours went by. It's past dinner time now. I finally find my phone and I charge it up and I see she messaged me, hey. That was it. That's all I got.
Didn't even ask. It was just a hey.
And my dad trying to be the middle
mediator.
And make sure everything's okay. He was trying to figure out why and if I was mad at her, if she did something. And I was like, I didn't know. Me and her didn't talk to each other for almost a week. We live in the same house, but we did not talk because I was afraid she was going to freak out and she thought I was mad at her.
My husband loves it when we go through that because he knows when we talk, it gets bad. So he's like, I'll watch you be anxious. I'd rather watch you be anxious than you and your mom screaming at each other.
Well, like, my spouse, he waits for it because I get so full of anxiety waiting for her to freak out. And I want to say 5 out of 10 times, she doesn't freak out. A good half of the time, it's, oh, that was a misunderstanding. I'm so sorry. Or we'll sit there and we'll sit. Like, my dog will do something stupid, and we'll both laugh, and she'll look at me, she goes, that is your dog. I'm like, yeah. And then things are fine. We just ignore what happened, because we don't have the time or the energy to deal with it.
Well, and
I've learned through therapy that I don't need to address everything that she does, and I've put up a lot of boundaries. I don't like physical touch. I don't like hugs.
Do I?
Don't hug me, don't touch me, don't kiss me. And it has taken her 7 years to stop doing that without asking permission. And I am so thankful now that she asks permission. And I'll be like, yeah, I'll give you a hug.
Well, see, I never got hugs or told I love you. My mom still doesn't tell me that she loves me and stuff. So that's why I don't like physical touch, because nobody touched me when I was younger. So now I don't like it, right?
My mom did it too much. She used that as a way to make up for things. So she'd be like, I'm so sorry, I love you. And it would be a lot of hugs and kisses. And when she was using, she was very huggy, lovey.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like that. I am not.
Why triggers you in some form of a way?
It does. And it gives me anxiety. And like, people think me and my spouse are weird because I'll be like, why are you touching my hand? Why are you holding my hand? Don't touch me. You know, I don't like that.
We don't and sleep in the same bed because of
our friends joke about it because they're like, you guys have zero PDA. I'm like, I don't like to be touched unless I'm willing to be. Like, do not touch me. I don't want that. And
I get that. That's why I don't like AA meetings because everybody wants to hug you and I don't want you to hug me.
I just can't handle that touch. It gives me anxiety. It makes my stomach flip. And it makes me feel like I want to cry or I get angry because
resentment.
I need that. That is you trying to apologize for something. And
forget
I don't want
the trigger.
I want change. And
that's my trigger, and you can't help it. It just either brings out whatever action it brings out, but it's a trigger because of how you felt from your childhood, you know?
Exactly. And she's finally discovered that. Sometimes she slips and she'll like walk up and rub my back and I'm like, why are you touching me? And like my entire body tenses and she'll see it and she instantly apologizes. And it's before it used to be, why do you hate me? Why don't you love me? And she'd always take it as an insult.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's starting to come through and it's not everything is about you.
Exactly.
Like
that, they don't get that a lot of the time.
Just because I don't want to do something or something's happened, it doesn't mean it was because of you. I mean, technically, if we look back at it, your addiction is the cause of my traumas. But that isn't something that you can help because you had traumas that were caused from other people. And those traumas were caused from other people. And it's a long line. So it travels down the stairs.
Generational
and
for years. Throughout the family,
and
you know.
It's not just your fault. And it's taken her a long time to understand that. It's not your fault. And you can't control what other people do or feel.
That's why I like think it's nice. And that's why you and your mom can have the relationship you do. Because your mom has tried at times to get better. Where my mom still denies the problem. So she never tries to get better. So there's never that conversation about how I know what's happened to her in her life, and I understand that she has these traumas, but she'll never ever talk to me about them because she's still drinking. So why would she sit down there and talk to me about how she thought her mother died and then found out when she was 40 that no, her mother never died and was still alive somewhere and had other kids with my grandpa and nobody knew about it? That's pretty messed up, but she won't talk about it with me because she's still drinking, right? So
yeah.
It's like, I think that's why you and your mom can be so close, because I think she's tried the whole time, you've said, through her addiction. It's not like she hasn't. So that can help you heal.
And I like to point out that she wasn't a bad mom. She was a sick mom.
I'll say that too. Same. I like you say that.
She couldn't control it. Yes, addiction can be a choice. They make the choice to go out and do it, but they have a disease that makes that choice for them. They don't physically make that choice. They don't want to.
They're really sick if they don't have it. And if she's a mom and she wants to be a good mom, she maybe wants to keep doing it so that she doesn't feel like crap so she can look after you.
Exactly. And there's so many ways that people look at it, but it's a disease. They can't control it. There is something in their body that says we need that to survive. And it takes a lot for them to get clean. But that little...
Pro Savings Days are on at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, my Lowe's Pro Rewards members get an additional 5% off when you buy 5 or more select GE, Whirlpool, and Electrolux kitchen or laundry major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 123. Discount valid to my Lowe's Pro Rewards members only. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for details. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Thing inside of them is still saying we need that all the time. And they fight it every day, all day. And I've seen my mom going through withdrawals. I've seen her craving. And they're very different side effects, but they come with the same demons. And she fights them every day. Sometimes she slips, sometimes she doesn't.
That
She.
sometimes I've gone through withdrawals, the slip would be because you feel that bad that you just can't take it anymore. I mean, I remember with like that feeling of just trying to do it myself, but I felt so bad that I just needed it or else I wasn't going to be able to do anything. And I want to look after my kids and be a good person and all this other stuff and go to school and do this and that, but I can't because I can't get out of bed because I'm puking or I can't move because I need my pill, right?
And like, there's been a few times where I've pointed out, hey, I can see that you are craving and you need to figure out something else because whatever you're doing is not working. And she'll look at me and she gets so frustrated because I know all of her moods and all of her actions. I can point out when she's craving and I know when she's trying to hide that she's going through withdrawal. I know how she looks and how she feels, and she gets frustrated with me. But then we laugh about it after because she's like, how do you know me so well? I took care of you.
That's what I
Like,
love about your story is that like you and your mom are like best friends instead of like, mother daughter. It's like best friends where you are more maybe of the mature, more have it together friend. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, but you guys can still come together and have a good time and laugh. And it's really a really cool dynamic. I really love it.
took us a long time to get to this place. I mean, we had some big ups and some massive downs.
What do you mean?
Periods of not talking. When I lived with my aunt, I hated my mom for a long time for what she did. I hated it for. And it wasn't so much I hated her, I hated the situation, and I thought that she had abandoned me.
Yeah,
And I
that
felt
would be the hard, the only, yeah.
like I still needed to be there to take care of her. The amount of times I got into fights with my aunt and my cousin trying to get them to send me back to my mom so I knew she was okay, because I hadn't talked to her in months and I needed to make sure that she was still. And my
Healthy
aunt would.
eating, okay. Yeah.
And that created a lot of issues for me because it was always, I need to know that she's okay. My dad even tried having me live with him full time at one point, and I called CAS on him and my aunt. They did nothing wrong, but I needed to get back to my mom.
I was
I
like,
needed
that's my dad. My
to.
dad, I couldn't be without him. I'm, yeah.
I love my dad. I am a daddy's girl through and through. He does everything. He fixes my car for me. He changes my oil in my car. I'll be like, Dad, my car's making a noise. I need you to look at it. And he's there in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I
But.
took care of my dad and my mom because they both liked to drink. Do you know what I mean? So I took care of both of them. So for me, it was like I was this only child that was a parent to drunks. My dad got sober, but my mom never did, right? So there was a difference where when my dad, because my, and like you said, because my dad realized it and tried, I was able to have an actual deep relationship with him. With my mom, because she won't try or open up, I can't have that relationship. So I think that's why you're able to overcome these things that maybe weren't the easiest in your life with your mother, because she still tries every day to be the best she can, right?
And like when I lived with my dad, I was mean. My dad lived with my aunt at the time and my other cousins because he was trying to get back on his feet. And he had lost a job and needed to move in with them until he could find his own place. And I was mad at the world. So I called CAS thinking, hey, they'll place me back with my mom. And they did.
Oh, I
Because
thought maybe you were gonna tell me something really bad there. Holy.
They placed me back with my mom. However, my aunt took it personally. And so that made it hard for a long time between me and her and me and my dad. My dad would still work his ass off to make sure I had everything. And I still seen him every weekend or every other weekend, depending on when I could go out and visit him. But I got put back with my mom. And that wasn't a good choice because me being back with her made things worse for her.
Okay.
She was with her ex at the time, and he took it as I was a burden. And his anger was put out on her and then on me. And she would then get angry and it would come out. And she doesn't remember the things or the times that the anger would come out. And to this day, I haven't told her all of what happened because she doesn't remember half of it. And I don't want her to feel bad because she couldn't control what was going on. It wasn't just her. And that created a lot of issues between us. And at points, me and her would get so mad. And this is after I've lived with my aunt and I'd go and visit her before I moved back in, and we would get into fist fights because she would argue with me. I never did that. He never did that. And yes, he did. I have a scar from that. Like a visible scar that you can see from what happened that day. And you were telling me it didn't happen because you don't remember it. Because you were there, but you weren't there. And we had to work through a lot of that through therapy and everything to get to where we are
Yeah,
now.
you'd have to because I like still resent my mom for one of the fist fights we got in where she tried to hit me because she said she paid for my college because my dad paid for my college, but her and my dad weren't together at the time. So how did she pay for half of my college? But whatever, she was intoxicated. She doesn't remember any of this. So I harbor the resentment every once in a while when she mentioned something about. She'll still bring it up and say she paid for it. I shut my mouth. I know better. I'm not intoxicated. I'm not going to engage her or anything, but I just sit there and go, hey.
I have myself have learned to just stay quiet now. Sometimes my
Best.
little will pop through and I'll be like, "No, you're wrong. You need to stop." And she will listen when I do step up and say something. But for the most part, I stay quiet because there's no point in arguing
They're
with.
not gonna, yeah, with somebody who's drunk or high because they're not their point's their point, and that's all they care about because they're messed up and they're not there, like you said.
And
But
like, I remember this one time we were driving and we were coming back from a family dinner, and she wanted to go to this football game at her friend's house. They were having this like party thing. And I was like, "No, you're drunk. You need to go home." And she was so mad. She started throwing things at me in the car. And I'm like, okay, I'll take you. I'll take you. I'll take you. And we dropped off my brother at his apartment. And this is before I had any kids. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, it's fine. I will take you. And the entire time, you're not taking me. You hate me. You've never loved me. You never wanted me in your life. You hate me so much. And she's throwing things at me and screaming at me while I'm driving. And I get to her friend's house and I run inside and I'm like, you need to get her out of my car and you need to get her out now. Because she is so out of it. She doesn't know what she's doing. She doesn't understand that I still went through with what she wanted and I brought her here to come see you guys. But she thinks that I'm working against her because she's so drunk. She does not understand what is going on. And we got in there. They got her out of my car, got her in the house, and she thanks them for coming to pick her up. And I'm like, you don't get it. And she was so mad at me. She didn't talk to me for 3 weeks because she thought that I was punishing her and keeping her away from her friends. I'm like, you don't get it. I took you there. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. And now today we laugh at it because now she's like, oh my gosh, you really did do what I asked. She goes, and you shouldn't have done that, but you still did it because back then I had no backbone. I couldn't stand up to her at all.
It's the only reason I have any backbone is because of my spouse, because he'll stop me from giving in to her easily. He'll be like, nope, don't do it, and help, like, you know what I mean, like he kind of helps guide me and navigate that situation a little bit so that I don't constantly just give her whatever she wants all the time, you know what I mean? Yeah, but Skype only lets me go for so long, so I don't want to cut you off. So do you have any last words for everybody?
Like,
Sorry.
It is not their fault that they are the way they are. And they need to find a place where they are comfortable to get clean. And they're not doing it to you. They are doing it to themselves. They are not trying to hurt you in the process. It is the drugs, it is the alcohol, it is not them. It may be their body, but it's not their brain. They don't think clearly. And it is hard. And for them to get clean, it takes a lot of help and a lot of trust and a lot of energy to get to that place. And we're still not clean in our house. My mom still struggles every day. She has her slips, but she's still trying for herself and for her grandkids and for me. And that is what helps me not resent her for everything. And I love her. I do, with my entire heart. But it is hard being the child of an addict. And that comes with trauma. And it takes the child to realize their traumas and get help and seek other people to be able to get past it and build a healthy relationship with their parents. It's hard.
I really love your point of view towards your relationship with your mother and how you've gone about dealing with this in your life and not letting it ruin your life, but instead turning it into something that is to some degree positive and still keeps you close to her. And I think that's important because we would regret later if we did keep push that person away. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing. I think that a lot of people will learn a lot from what you said and maybe realize the same thing and maybe be able to have real conversations instead of push that person away, or maybe understand their parent a little, or brother, sister, whoever, a little bit more just from what you said. So thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And thank you. And I might check in and see how you're doing, because sometimes I do that, especially with guests like you that are, still in it a little bit. And see what's up. Okay.
Perfect. Thank you.
And thank you so much for coming on. Okay.
Thank you so much. You have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.